Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. Last week, the magazine In Touch Weekly released a transcript from a 2011 interview with former adult actor Stephanie Clifford. In that interview, Clifford describes in detail an ongoing affair in 2006 with now President Donald Trump. And at the time, now First Lady Melania Trump was at home with their newborn son. Clifford, who appeared in adult films under the name Stormy Daniels, has since reportedly denied the affair, at least according to President Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. But there are also credible reports that over the summer of 2016, during the presidential campaign, Trump's camp paid Clifford $130,000 to keep quiet about that relationship. Trump's lawyer and self-described Mr. Fix-It, again, Michael Cohen, set up a shell corporation in Delaware to handle that payment, and a reporter from Slate says he saw the nondisclosure agreement with his own eyes. The president and the White House both deny the affair. Still, one remarkable facet of this salacious story is the relative indifference from the president's conservative evangelical base. Think of the affairs of the American political scene: John Edwards, Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton. The axe of morality fell hard on all of those men and many, many more. But with President Trump, you might call it a collective shrug from evangelicals. Here's Reverend Franklin Graham over the weekend on MSNBC Live with Alex Witt.
And I don't think it's hypocritical because he's a flawed man for me to try to support him and help him and pray for him. I'm a flawed person, and I would hate for people to see all the baggage I have in my life. But the fact is that God has forgiven me, and I've asked for his forgiveness, and I think the president has too.
Does that sound different to you than what you might have heard in the past from a national evangelical leader like Franklin Graham? There has been a real shift among evangelicals when it comes to the morality of their politicians. We're going to talk about that. Nearly 80% of them voted for President Trump in the election. Professor Barry Hankins is here. He's professor and chair of the Department of History at Baylor University. Barry Hankins, welcome.
Hello, good to be here.
You know, it's hard to imagine a story like this involving the president and an extramarital affair with an adult film actress, a six-figure payment for her silence, with really what amounts to a collective yawn from evangelicals and social conservatives. Do you see it that way? What's going on?
I think over the past 20 or 25 years, really it started in the 1980s when evangelicals became a solid voting bloc within the Republican Party, and have gotten to the position where only a Republican is acceptable for office, largely because of the abortion issue and gay marriage, perhaps, and the other social issues of the culture wars. And I think that especially after the Obama years and the frustrations for conservatives in general and evangelicals in particular, you know, many of the leaders, the evangelical leaders, are willing to make a sort of bargain to support a candidate that embodies all of the things they stood against on the private morality side in order to try and continue the sort of influence that evangelicals have within the Republican Party on these social issues like abortion and gay marriage and the like.
Barry Hankins, you described this shift over the last 25 to 30 years. I'm not sure that I quite agree with that, because there are data that say something a little bit different. From the Public Religion Research Institute, survey data that say in 2011, 30% of evangelicals said an elected official who commits an immoral act in their personal life can still behave ethically and fulfill their duties as an elected official. That number shifted from 30% in 2011 to 72% in 2016. That's not over the last 25 to 30 years. That's over 5 years. It's drastic, and it's a changing of minds that's immediate. Why the flip?
No, the longer-term time frame I was giving was really since the 1980s, when evangelicals have become a solid voting bloc within the Republican Party. The shift on private morality, you're absolutely correct, is very recent. And I think it's driven by Trump. I think once presented with a candidate that will do some of the things they want, and in particular, a couple of things in particular, I think that shift is very recent. It's very dramatic. But I think it's when evangelicals were presented with Trump, they made that decision.
Professor Hankins, you're an evangelical yourself.
I am, except that the evangelical, the way historians define evangelicals, say from the Great Awakening of the 18th century to the present, evangelicalism in America has been a theological and religious movement primarily until about the 1980s, when more and more it became viewed as a political movement. So when one says that he or she is an evangelical, one has to be careful about what they're actually saying, because to the extent that evangelicalism is a political sort of position, I don't have as much in common with other evangelicals as I do on theological issues, biblical issues, these sorts of things. So it's interesting how the term itself, because of evangelical politics, the term itself has sort of morphed in the public eye into something quite different than it used to be.
One of the other parts of what President Trump has to offer his base is this strong thread of ethno-nationalism. And I wonder what you think the role of that is in evangelicals' willingness to put aside the president's private moral behavior to get what they want politically.
Let me just tell you a quick story. When Trump was running in the Republican primaries, I was teaching either world history or my American history survey. So when I get to the run-up of World War II, I'm covering the rise of fascism in Italy and Germany, the way I've covered it for 35 years. And some of my brightest students in that class, their eyebrows went up when I talked about nationalism, ethno-nationalism, making a country great again, these sorts of things. And I almost stopped and said, I've been covering fascism this way for 35 years. Now, do I think Trump is a full-blown fascist? Actually, I don't, because fascists are more consistent, more ideological, and have longer attention spans than Trump has. But this ethno-nationalism is profoundly disturbing. And, you know, the talk about the private morality is one thing, but this is an issue that is of grave concern. And the fact that evangelicals of all people would buy into ethno-nationalism when the Christian message is that believers are brothers and sisters across national, ethnic, racial boundaries is profoundly troubling. It's disheartening that this has happened. And to explain it again, I think that many evangelicals have come to this conclusion that they're under tremendous discrimination. And a lot of this is, it's not just evangelicals, it's others, non-evangelical supporters of Trump and people who are, whose lives are dislocated economically and so forth in the past 10 to 20 years. And I understand all of that. There is this tendency, and it's throughout history, where people will latch on to a demagogic leader who will promise them things and at the same time use some implied, if not explicit, scapegoating and innuendo to give people a sense of this is where the problems are. It's an oversimplified thing. And I think it's tragic that people are buying into that. And I think it's doubly disheartening when it's evangelicals who are doing so.
Professor Barry Hankins, Chair of the Department of History, Baylor University. Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, is morality an important value in your elected officials? And how much does a politician's sexual history matter to you? Shelley weighed in on our Facebook page. I don't care about sex as long as it's consensual. I do care about hypocrisy and the risk for blackmail and the poor judgment shown by officials taking such risks through hubris or stupidity or both. Tell us what you think. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page. In the meantime, I thank you, as I always do, for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.